I want to share something with you this morning that has been a challenge to me. It's a message about the seed and the soil. And I started looking back. If we would go back to creation, when God was able to just speak some things into existence, let's look at something. In 1 and 11 of Genesis, it says, God said, you know, he was able to just speak and things came into existence. He said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself. And God saw that it was good. You know, we take that for granted today. Back then, he spoke it into existence, and it's followed that pattern ever since. Whose seed is in itself. And I was thinking farmers in the past that have raised wheat, and they would, at the end of the year when they're harvesting, they would set back some of the best wheat that they harvested. Why? Because I want to use that for next year. Its fruit was in itself. The seed was in itself for next year's harvest, for next year's yield. And I was thinking of the, I've seen in the past where some people that raised gardens, maybe they raised watermelons, and they're having family over something, and they cut one open, and it is, they say, oh, this is the best one I've ever had. And what would you see them do? We're going to save the seeds from this one because we're going to plant them next year to be able to have some of that good watermelon. You know, I thought of that. What a mighty God we serve. All he had to do was just speak, and the tree was there. But he realized, you know what? Time's going to pass, and I need some way for it to continue, because it's not going to be just have a forest fire and it all burns up and it just all of a sudden there's new trees there again, fully developed. There's going to be seed that falls to the ground and be able to have fruit for out in the future. I was thinking corn, one kernel planted in the ground. You know what it says? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You know, you can take that seed and just hold, put it in a jar or something, and you'll always have one seed. But when that is planted and it follows the process that God gave, what does it say? A seed is in itself. And then there comes a harvest. There comes a lot of ears of corn. You could say there's hundreds of kernels came from that one. It was part of God's doings. And I saw this morning. I looked it up. How old is a seed until no longer is it productive? Can we say, okay, 50 years and it's no longer productive? I was reading this. It says, scientists in Israel confirmed that an ancient date palm seed retrieved from the rubble of a town there was successfully germinated and grew. And that seed was predicted to be about 2,000 years old. Just lay there dormant until it was planted. But the potential is in the seed itself to be able to grow. Well, you know, I appreciate being able to see the natural seed and what it can do. But it is intended to go farther in life than just that. What does it say in Proverbs 22 and 6? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then there's another instruction given for parents over in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 and the 7th verse. First of all, the 6th verse is important. We could maybe say it's for the parents. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then it comes, okay, here's the instruction for children. Teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when you go sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when thou risest up. given some instruction for children. So what about the verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it? Because you know what? There's a lot of children been trained up in the way they should go, and they depart from that teaching. But you know, I believe it's a true saying that teaching will never depart from them. And I've heard people come back saying, you know what? I went out into sin, but as I was going to do these things, I would remember a verse maybe I was taught in Sunday school or something that was given. So for us today, I was thinking about this with the seed. In different scriptures, we see the seed used in different ways. You remember the story of the tares and the wheat. In that one, it said the seed, the good seed, was the children of the kingdom. So it was talking about those who were saved, those who were not saved. The bad seed was the children of the wicked one. Well, I want to look at one of the parables that Jesus used in a different way. It's found over in Mark 4. And in 14 is one of the pictures of the parable of the sower and the seed. It gave this description: the sower sows the word. How many places, so however the word is introduced to me, there's seed coming that can be planted. And I want to compare it with this. The seed sown is the word of God. Have you ever heard these initials? GMO. GMO. You know, I didn't even think of what that was until I started studying this. Genetically modified organism. Now, about the only thing I've seen is in grocery stores, or if you go in health food stores, you will see labels, non-GMO. They feel like it's more healthy for you to not have genetically modified seeds. And you know, I'm finding something, and as I read this, it says there's positive things to scientists messing with the seeds that God created. They can make it to where it produces more than it would normally. But they said also they're starting to find out something. We're having a lot more trouble with food allergies today than people used to have with just normal things like wheat. And I know of people that have said, you know what, I have an intolerance to wheat. I will have an allergic reaction if I have wheat. And so, but they say I can go overseas to a place where they don't have modified wheat, and I have no allergic reaction to that. And I start hearing about that more and more. So seed companies, there are seed companies that will advertise, the seeds we sell have not been modified by a scientist. They are what God provided for us. Well, here's what I want us to look at. What about God taking a look at his seed? What is his seed? It's the word of God, and he wants to plant it down inside. Does he care if his seed gets modified? Is it being modified in our religious world today? Truly is. And you know what? I think spiritually, it will cause people to have allergic reactions. Maybe not in the body, but in the spirit. And so I'd like to look at some verses. Over in Deuteronomy, how does God look at what we do with his word? Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, starting in the 1st verse. Hearken, O Israel, to the statutes, to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God shall give you. Look at this 2nd verse. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. You know, it would be real easy for me to look at God's word and then I start putting my interpretation on it and saying, okay, you need to start adding to this. We need to make it a little stricter. We find this in the scriptures where the Pharisees, they were wanting to have it strict, and it was stricter than what Moses was requiring. This one says, don't add to it. Neither shall you diminish aught from it. What is that? Taking away from what the value is of that seed of the Word of God. Don't diminish it that you may. Now, here's what we want to be able to have is this peace that we sang about. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And you know, there's places that will tell us there's blessings that come in your life from obeying. You ever read Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter? That 28th chapter will talk to you about all the blessings that will come into your life. And it breaks it down for the first half of that chapter. Up until about the 14th verse of that 28th chapter. It says these blessings are just going to overtake you if you have hearkened to the commandments of the Lord. And I believe that nothing has changed for us today. There will be blessings come in our life if we will hearken to the commandment. What we're talking about is having good seed applied that we plant into our life. The religious world around us has a lot of genetically modified seed. They will call it, it's still the Word of God, but it's been shifted. You know, really, Satan tried that with Adam and Eve. Here's the seed that God planted in them. Of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat, but there's one tree. Don't eat it, lest you die. It was a seed that was planted into the hearts. And along comes Satan with a genetically modified seed. You shall not surely die. God knows that in the day that you eat of this, you're going to be able to discern good and evil. And surely they did. And they were able to see a whole lot of evil come into their life. So I was thinking that 28th chapter, the first half of it, is the kind that I'd like to have in my life. You're going to be blessed in temporal blessings. You're going to be blessed and your family's going to be blessed. It's going to be just a lot of good things come in your life. But then it has just a little short piece, maybe about the 14th or 15th verse. It says, but if you do not hearken to the commandments. So those commandments are, they can come to us in so many ways today. Just as we do our family devotions and we're reading the scripture, it's seeds that the Lord would like to plant. Well, the last half of that 28th chapter says, if you don't hearken to my commandments. And then it took it almost verse for verse. The things that would have blessed you become a curse in our life. So I want to be able to have the blessings in my life. They will come from me taking the good seed, the Word of God, and planting it in my life and letting it grow. You know, Revelations, right at the very end of the book of Revelations, it says, if you add to this book, and I believe it was talking about the book of Revelations, then I'm going to add to you the plagues that are in this book. You know, I don't want that to happen. But I also believe not just for Revelations. If I add to or if I take away from just the whole of the Word of God, I would like to be able to know exactly how God would have me to live, the seed that He would have me to plant. You know, here's one of the seeds that God planted. Genesis, and I think this is one for us to just quietly watch over the next months and years. 1:27 of Genesis. This is a seed that He wanted planted. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. You know, that's being contested today. You know what's so sad is this being contested in religious circles also. Where it talks about on down, where it talks about, therefore shall a man leave, in the second chapter, the 24th verse, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they be one flesh. And you know where it says, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You know, that was a seed that God wanted to plant in hearts. And the world would like to say, no, don't worry about it. Just if this one doesn't work, move on to another one. There are so many places. But you know what? God's seed is pure. It's not tainted by anything else. It's not been modified. You remember a song that we've sung? I haven't heard it for a long time. I don't want to change it or rearrange it. I love it. just like it is. I want to be able to have that in my life, a love for the Word of God. And I want that seed to be planted in my heart and grow. Over in Psalms, there are a few verses over in Psalms 119. 119 and 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a person start to live a better life? By taking heed to thy word. With my whole heart if I sought thee, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Think about this seed that God is wanting to plant in each one of us. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Then it goes on down in the 33rd verse. So many places in here it's saying, I want you to teach me your word and I'll follow it. 33rd, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes and I'll keep it to the end. Give me understanding, I'll keep thy law, I'll observe it with my whole heart. And then it says over in 59 and 60, you know, when his word comes into my heart, it intends for there to be something happen from it. Maybe some changes that need to be made. And in the 59th verse, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet to thy testimonies. I made haste and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. My desire was, Lord, I want to be able to know what you require, and then I want to be able to follow that. Some of you may have never heard it before, but I remember when I was young, I would go to camp meetings and all, and I would hear ministers tell about this old brother that used to pray. And this was his prayer. Oh, Lord, I want you to send your word on any line. It don't matter. Send your word on any line. If I'm not there, I'll get there. Now, wouldn't that be some kind of an attitude to take? Lord, I'll tell you what. You have lots of ways to be able to plant seed in my heart. Lord, help me to always be open to receive that seed. Because, you know, it's real easy for me to receive it when I'm measured up in that line. But then when I find a place that, this one is really touching me close, there's some things that can happen in my life, and we'll take a look at that in a little bit. What do I do with God's seed when it gets to the soil of my heart? There was also, I remember when I was young, I would hear ministers tell this story. They said there were two sisters sitting in meeting service, and the preacher, he starts getting down to preaching. You know, we can preach some pretty general things, and everybody feels pretty good about it. But it said he got down to where he was naming some specifics of things that we need to guard ourselves from. They're both sitting together. And so one of them, all of a sudden, as the things were named out, she started amen in his message. I agree with that. And the other one that knew her very well reached over and punched her and said, whispered to her, said, that's not where you're living. You're not measured up to that. She said, I am now. You know, we can do it in a service. And I think what's important about this is we're in camp meeting season where we get a deluge of messages and things that God would like to just insert a little seed from this. I have gone to meetings, gone to services where I've looked at a scripture many, many times in my life. And somebody can preach on that scripture and pick up something else out of it that I find, you know what, I never even thought about that. It's how God's word will never become old. It'll always have something for every one of us. So you know what, we can have that same thing. We can be in a service, we can have something that we're not measured to, but you know what, we can amen it. If in my heart I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to change that area. We don't have to say, no, I can't talk about it until I've had some long success. But I will make a change in that area. There's some reactions that we can have in our life to a seed. Maybe it's a seed of instruction that Jesus has given to us. I'd like to look over in John 21. John 21 and the 19th. Because Jesus gave some real clear instruction. I kind of like to look at this, that he was planting a seed. John 21 and 19. It says right in the last part of the 19th verse, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. When he had spoken thus, he saith to him, follow me. And you know, that seed is planted. I've got one instruction. I don't know what all is going to be involved in following him, but I want to plant this seed and I want to let it grow. You know what? Peter did what sometimes I have done in the past. Then Peter, 20th verse, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and he said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? But the 21st verse, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? You know, it is real easy for me when the seed is to be planted in my heart. It's for me. Well, you know, it is so easy for me to look out all of a sudden and say, who else must this seed be needed for? You know, Jesus didn't say anything to Peter about what John's going to need to do. All he was saying to him was, I want you to follow me. There's another place that can hinder me. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. This can be a hindrance. When the Lord comes to me with some instruction, with a seed to be planted in my heart, it's easy for me to do with this 12th verse of the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. They measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Have you ever felt that happen before? The Lord come along with something that I need to do, and I stop and say, you know what? I know I got some places that I need to move closer, but I'm doing a whole lot better than this other one over here. They that measure themselves by themselves, compare themselves among themselves, it's not wise to be able to do that. And then there's another reaction I can have. You know, I can have a good intention. Okay, I heard this. You know, the woman that was measured up as she heard it. I can also go the other way and say, I heard it, and I'm going to take care of that sometime. There's a little verse over in Haggai, the 2nd chapter in the 19th verse. There's just a little piece of that verse that I'd like for us to think about. I've heard in a message before, Brother Archie Souders used to preach on this verse. These little words right here. Is the seed yet in the barn? You know, what if I bought some seeds in the springtime? You can go down to the store and you can get packets of seeds, and they have the most beautiful picture of the big tomato that it will make. The watermelon, I mean, they spend a lot of money on ink to make that thing look perfect. Now, what if it was just gray? It was just a gray thing and said watermelon seeds. You know, generic brands do that. Why is that? Because if you buy the generic that's just got black and white labeling, all you're interested in is cheap. I don't need it to look good. I don't need it. You know, you'll do that sometime. You go into Walmart and see if you don't see some that are brightly colored. They're pretty expensive things that you buy. But then you got one over here that's just the generic brand, and it's a lot cheaper. Well, sometimes we'll settle for the generic brand. But I look at this. Is the seed yet in the barn? What if I bought those seeds? They had the most beautiful picture on it. And some people will set it up in the cabinet. I'm going to plant that sometime. And the days pass by and I get busy. You know, it won't do any good for a wheat farmer if the seed is still in a container in the barn and it never got planted. It's really the same way for me today. Camp meeting time is going to give me lots of opportunities for seeds to come to me that need to be planted, need to start growing, and I can have some good intentions. What are some of the seeds? Over in Galatians, I want to be able to look at these and ask myself, how are these growing? Galatians 5 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit. So, you know, sometimes we can read, if we just read this verse, and we looked at each one of these being a different seed that I need to have planted and growing in my life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, that doesn't take very long to read. But if I were to apply it in my life, have I planted it, and how is the production of it? It can be a different thing. There is also a verse over in James, the first chapter, 1:22. Because here's another thing that can happen to us. Whether it's camp meeting season or whether it's just every Sunday, or, you know, really not even that, just in your daily activity. Have you ever had just a scripture come to your mind that challenges you? It's easy for us to have those come, and then what do we do with it? In the 22nd verse of the first chapter of James, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word," you know what, it's real easy for me sometimes. Because I heard it and I didn't reject it, I plan to plant it and it grow for me someday. Somehow that brings some consolation to me. But this one says, "If I'm just a hearer and not a doer, I'm likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and he straightway forgetteth what manner he was." You ever had that happen? I've had that happen in my life. Monarch time, how many messages will we hear? If you were to go to the whole thing, maybe 30 times you're going to hear messages, scriptures, a lot of them coming in. And there will be times when I'll be challenged. I need to do something about that one. "Straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." The opportunity for me to be able to make a change. So what opportunities are available for me with God's word to be planted in my life? You know, we are blessed. We have a verse that says, "To whom much is given, much will be required." You know, there are some people that never have opportunities for camp meeting seasons. They really were grown. They grew up never even knowing about opportunities of going out to service and the benefits of it. You know, I have been in so many meetings, heard so many scriptures, so many messages. "To whom much is given, much will be required." You know, just available to me, I talk about the 30 of them from Monarch. What about just the preaching websites? You know, I thought, okay, if I could just keep up with those on the preaching.com, that I can hardly keep up with that. And then I find out each congregation, a lot of different congregations have their own, maybe Sacramento and some of those different ones, they have their own website where they're keeping their messages. So I have lots of opportunity. 1 year from now, what will I have done with a seed that was desiring to be planted in my life? I want to be able to have some results coming from it. So there is a verse over in Hosea. We don't go to that very much, but I'd like to look at a verse. Hosea 10:12. "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." I was looking at that verse and I saw this part that says, "Break up your fallow ground." That's ground that's already been broken up some. But it says in the commentary, "Don't be satisfied with a slight furrow." You know, you can have dry ground and you can scratch it with a rake and you can break the soil just a tiny bit, but you're not very deep. It says, "Don't be satisfied with a slight furrow. Let the land that was slightly plowed be broken again with a deep furrow." To dig down deep to where when the plant is planted, that I'll be able to have a harvest. You know, I find throughout the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with the seed that God has for us. It's all about what I do about the soil. So I'd like to close with the story over in Mark in the 4th chapter, because this is where I need to check, and I can move from one place to another. I can come to a service, "Have you done it?" I have. Walk away from a service and I'm on my way home and I think, "What was that message about?" And what's bad is when somebody stayed at home because they were sick and you walk in the door, and that's what they ask. Can you tell me what that was about? You know, it's not about we turned it off. Just I reject it. It's just I had things going through my mind. Well, you know, when we look at this story in Mark, sometimes this story right here can become more real to me. 4 and 3. There went out a sower to sow. Came to pass as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So when I look at this, you know, I can move from one category to another in different phases of my life. That first part wasn't because I don't want to have anything to do with living for the Lord, so my ground is hard. I can just be caught up with other things where my thoughts don't even let it be retained. So I look at these places, and Jesus comes down and he explains them. The sower, in the 14th verse, sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. Does that mean I'm a sinner for that to happen? I don't think so. You know, it can happen to me just because I'm not able to bring into captivity my thoughts to be able to receive the seed. So I want to be on guard there. Then it says, 16th verse, they likewise which are sown on stony ground, when they have heard the word, they receive it with gladness. You know, I've done that before. Go to a service and I hear something that I need to move up on and I don't reject it. I receive it. Yes, I accept that. I want to make this change. But then it says, they have no root. They receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves. They endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You ever see that? Sometimes on a big stone, there has been enough dust blow on top of it that it's got just a little layer of dirt, and a plant comes up. That thing probably doesn't have an inch of dirt, but there's a small little tree trying to come up in that. You know what it's just like with this? It's good as rain will come. It'll continue to grow and stay green maybe for a little while. But it says they have no root in themselves. They endure for a time. But afterward, when the sun comes out, you need some depth of soil holding water to be able to make it in those kind of times. I want to be able to endure when trouble comes my way. To be able to do that, I need to do what was said in Hosea. Break up the fallow ground. What's already been scraped up some, let me dig it down very deep to where the seed can go down deep. And then I'm glad that it didn't stop. There's still one more, but then it tells us it is possible for us to have a good crop. But here's one more. They that are sown among thorns in the 18th verse, hear the word. Can this one apply to us? Without having any desire to go out and sin, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, I believe that 19th verse can be to the Christian that has no desire to go out into the world, but my mind gets caught up with other things, and it chokes the word that it becomes unfruitful. But I want us to look at the 20th verse. These are they which are sown on good ground. You know what? It's nothing wrong with a seed. I think those, out of all those different phases of planting, the same kind of seed was used. It wasn't that, okay, that first one was a bad seed anyhow, that's why it didn't come up. No, the possibility was available for all of them as far as the seed was concerned. But here's some good ground. They hear the word, they receive it, they bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. That's what I want to be able to have in my life. I want to be able to bear fruit. And I believe we're going to be able to hear throughout our life, not just Monarchs coming this year, how many years it has come. How I can, if I'm not able to attend a meeting, I can listen to the messages from the ones out in West Virginia that I was unable to go to. Folks, we're blessed. You know, it wasn't that. It was in my lifetime that I saw them try to record a service. Did you ever see Brother Leslie's reel-to-reel? He had that thing, and the reels were probably, seemed like the reels were 8 to 10 inches or something on each one, and trying to record a message. And today we can have it, we can go to, I remember in Guthrie, whoever would be putting those on, there were times when you would not even be home from service and you'd see that message has already been posted. And people enjoyed that weren't able to go to service because it's almost like they were right there. They could hear it right after it had been preached. We have a lot that's available to us. I'd like for us to close with a song. It's song number 333. It tells about how much I value the Bible. It says, "Oh, precious Bible." And it talks about how much it would like to help me, help us all. So let's think about the, whenever I read a scripture and it's given me instruction about maybe an adjustment that I need to make in my life, or I hear a message that comes to me that shows me a place that I need to move up, help me to have the soil of my heart softened. You know, when we are so happy with the rains that have come, you take no rain for a while and you can't even hardly break the ground with a shovel. You about need to have a pickaxe to be able to break it up. I want the soil of my heart to be soft enough that when the message comes, when a seed comes to be planted, it is real easy. The soil is fertile to be able to grow.